Rattling the Bones, Fran Varity, Book 7, written by Anne Granger and read by Kim Hicks.
Chapter 1. My late grandmother, Elizabeth Varity, more or less brought me up. My mother walked out one day when I was 7 and didn't reappear for 14 years. Grandma was what's called a formative influence. I learned to like good coffee and spicy goulash, never sit on the seat in a public loo, and beware of anyone in a uniform. She knew how to read the omens like an ancient shaman. "Sometimes when things get bad, you just have to run," she would say philosophically. It would have been a good thing if I'd inherited her instinct. But bad situations have always held a fatal lure for me. The more sticky the circumstances, the more I want to pitch in there. There's no way it makes any sense. It's what dramatists call a fatal flaw. Grandma had vivid personal experience of running away from a bad situation, having fled the aftermath of the 1956 Hungarian uprising with her baby, my dad, in her arms. She also had my grandfather with her, but he was inconveniently recovering from a bad bout of influenza and not much help. He kept sagging at the knees at awkward moments. My grandma often expressed the opinion that no situation was ever so difficult, but that any Varity male couldn't make it worse. Despite the fact that my grandfather was himself a doctor, his health couldn't have been too good. He was dead by the time I was born. I have a photograph of him, taken when he was about the age I am now, 23. It's a professional portrait done in Budapest, in a studio that had probably not changed its props since the days of Franz Josef. My grandfather is posed with one arm resting on a stump of Grecian pillar and the other propped dashingly on his hip. He has turned three quarters on towards the camera and has a slight smirk on his face, as if he couldn't decide whether to smile or not. Or it might just be he was pleased with his appearance. He is wearing a single-breasted suit jacket secured by one button mid-ribs. In the breast pocket, there is an artistically folded handkerchief, and in the opposite lapel, a carnation. His shirt collar looks tight enough to choke him, and he has a striped tie. He also has a neat little moustache, and for some reason is wearing a hat. This portrait held pride of place on our mantelshelf when I was a child. I decided early on that my father, who died about 10 years ago, resembled him. Apart from the carnation and hat, that is. My father was also no great help in an emergency. After my mother's defection, he had remained physically present, but mentally he had left with her. In between a string of jobs, all begun with great expectations, only to fold shortly afterwards in failure, he just hung round the place. He was a nice man, friendly and kind-hearted, but in truth, no great help. It's always been down to the Varity women to take care of things and sort out problems. I sometimes wonder if it was the realisation that she would have to bear the entire burden of their marriage that resulted in my mother giving up the whole thing as a bad job. Although I haven't the slightest idea why she went. On the few brief occasions we spoke later when she reappeared, she didn't enlighten me, and I didn't ask. She's dead too now. So is Grandma. All those questions hover unanswered in the ether. Taken to the grave, as the Victorians like to say. Some people try and discover old secrets. They rattle the bones and hope some inkling will fall out. I never have. However, perhaps that's why, although my intention is and has always been to make a career in the performing arts, I have morphed into a part-time private detective. Possibly the above-mentioned high rate of mortality among my few relatives has something to do with it. After all, it left me alone in the world and homeless at 16. It abruptly called a halt to the drama course I was following. But I have another theory. From childhood, I have always had to try and work out for myself what's going on. In my family, a child was to be loved, fed, and taught good manners, but not included in important discussions. So they never explained where my mother had gone, apart from some pathetic invention about a holiday, which wouldn't have fooled anyone, let alone a 7-year-old with a child's uncluttered logical mind.